May the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. This afternoon, in celebration of Reformation, we have a reading from Ephesians. Ephesians is a good book of the Bible. It probably more than any other deals with the church, capital C, just talking about what makes up and how that church of all believers is formed. The readings are from Ephesians chapter 2. I will read verses 19 and 20 first, and then go back to verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, verse 19. You are members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a chief cornerstone. Verses 8 and 9. It is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. This is God's word. Dear brothers and sisters in our Savior Jesus, a certain director slash comedian, maybe if you know his name it will help, Steve Martin, he once said, last year I sent a script over to the studio and they did not change one word in the entire script. The word was on page 87. It's not just directors who feel that way about their scripts. I think all of us realize there's a lot of change, not just this year, this century. In fact, if you're not a big fan of change, you're probably thinking the 21st century was the wrong century for you. Not that you have much choice in the matter. We are continually encouraged and sometimes coerced into embracing new things. We are told to be more inclusive. And that's not all bad. It is very difficult for the rugged individualist, kind of the opposite of inclusive, it's very difficult for the rugged individualist to always remember to put the needs of the other person first. The rugged individualist may also have a tough time realizing the different ways that people look at the world. But while inclusivism may have some advantages, it also has its drawbacks. There are many ways to look at the world indeed, but for some things there's only one way to look at things. If you want to imagine that 2 plus 2 equals 5, fine. But try and sell that one to the IRS. But this need to be careful about inclusivism and needing to draw lines, a proverbial line in the sand, is not something new. 500 years ago, the Reformation began because the Reformers realized that they needed to draw the line in the sand. They had to do this at the risk of offending many, and even at the risk of their own safety. They had to do this because on the basis of God's word, they realized that outside of these lines, there is very little truth. And outside of these lines, you rapidly diminish to zero the chances of spending eternity with God. What are these lines in the what are these lines of the sand that the Reformation drew? The Reformers used a very non-inclusive word, alone. Now, if you're a Lutheran and have been for many years, you maybe know the Latin for that word, sola. That Reformation was founded not on one alone or one sola, but several. Some people say there were four solas, some people say there were five, but originally it was three. And not that there's anything wrong with the other two solas, the other two alones, but let's just keep this simple, right? So the three originally were Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone. Sola Scriptura, sola gratia, sola fide. The first alone is sola scripture, sola scriptura, scripture alone. A personal encounter in my life maybe in a little way helped me understand why this was so important to Martin Luther. Several years ago, I had a conversation with a Catholic clergyman. I don't remember, was he a priest or a deacon or a monk? I don't remember. But he explained to me the basis of his faith. He said, "You Lutherans have such an unsteady basis for your faith. You put both feet on the Word of God. We Catholics have a much more steady base. We put one foot on the Word of God and the other foot on church tradition." I couldn't believe he said that. I almost fell off my chair. "Are you serious?" I thought. But it helps you to understand why Martin Luther had to say, unless you can show me from God's Word where I have erred, where I've made a mistake, I cannot and will not recant. Apparently that clergyman had forgotten Ephesians 2, verse 20. "You are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as a cornerstone." No Thomas Aquinas in that one, is there? But one infinitely greater than Martin Luther, centuries before Martin Luther, had already made this plain to us. Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness by the devil, every time he answered that temptation with this, "It is written." Often he said to his opponents, "Have you never read?" He didn't take people to the body of Jewish rabbinic teachings, which was already becoming prominent in Jewish thought at Jesus' time, but he took them to the law and to the prophets. The Apostle Paul, speaking to his apprentice Timothy, told him to devote himself to the reading of the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit in Acts commended the Bereans, because when Paul spoke, they cross-checked what he had and what he had said. Not with Greek philosophy, not with their dreams the night before or what they felt in their heart, but with the Word of God. At every moment in life, whether we're talking about our things in the church or our lives in the world, the final say rests with Scripture alone. Other faiths save no one. Philosophers bubble up human ideas, not God's. Our own minds always gravitate toward what we prefer and what makes our life easy. All must be made captive to the Word of God. And that is why we encourage Bible reading, devotions based on God's Word. Every Reformation is the annual reminder to recommit and go back to the place that all of our faith must come from, and that is Scripture alone. Scripture alone then leads us to the other two alones, grace alone, faith alone. Hear how one Bible passage puts both of these other two alones right next to each other and shows that they're really intertwined from Ephesians 2, verse 8. "It is by grace you have been saved through faith." So it is by grace, the grace of God, that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Salvation is 100% God's gift and 0.00% our work, grace alone. And God has decreed that this gift of his grace comes through trust in Jesus as our Savior from sin, or my Savior from my sin. Faith alone. We were and are sinners who would be condemned to hell if not for that blood-bought forgiveness that Jesus won for us. There's no other way about it. In 1517, when the Reformation began, Christians had long been told that Jesus won some of their forgiveness, but they had to fill up the measure of forgiveness. They were told that they also had to live the right kind of life or there would be punishment. Or maybe they could take a silver coin and put it in a box and get a Pope autographed paper called an indulgence that said that some or maybe all of that extra forgiveness had been won or paid for. In that non-grace, now think about that, in that non-grace way of being saved, sensitive consciences, and this is exactly where Martin Luther was for the first 30-some years of his life, sensitive consciences wandered about, always wondering, how in the world can I be right with God? He wants me to be better, but I'm not. Forgiveness was not through grace alone and faith alone. And in that non-faith way of being saved, the calloused consciences said, hey, you know, I put my money in the offering plate. Get off my back. Let me do what I want to do. Neither looked at God as a loving Father, nor Jesus as the all-sufficient Savior from sin, nor themselves as grateful children of a loving God who wanted to bring honor to their loving and good Father in heaven. They just didn't get God's completely free, undeserved grace, and they didn't understand that only through faith, through trust, not doing something, Christ's blood-bought forgiveness became theirs. And that was 1570. And surely today, in the 500-plus years since then, we've moved beyond that, right? No, these are things that will always be a problem. Whether it's the unchristian or even the Christian who says, well, you just need to be sure you invite Jesus into your life. They have spiked grace alone with human works. When your neighbor reflects that her dearly departed mother was tragically called from this world a couple weeks ago, and then she says, you know, she surely must be in heaven because she was such a caring, loving woman. They've mixed in other things, haven't they? They've said that grace and faith isn't what she needed. She was good enough on her own. And that is where every person is born, and every single one of us is born, in rebellion against God's plan of salvation. And that's where we walk in our lives. We are born in ignorance of our Savior. And the only reason that we are not in that place right now is because of God's free gift of grace that comes to us through faith in Jesus as revealed by Scripture. Grace alone, faith alone, Scripture alone. May the joy of those truths and the fact that we do not stand alone, just remember that, alone doesn't mean all standing alone, and the fact that we stand not alone but in the great cloud of witnesses, may that energize us to run with perseverance the life that God has marked out for us. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in the true faith to life everlasting. Amen.